Okay. We're trying to understand. I don't even remember what this chapter is called. It was so long ago.
You said it
to the Shalom Avinu.
Something about the Tumim Devarim? Wanted to look up? No.
We'll see. Yeah, not just wanted to see it in thought, but what it's called unconditional. What's called unconditional love, giving without expectation of getting anything back. We're trying to understand what is the Torah's definition of Ahava. Why is Avram called Nodiv? That's the subject. And the Chiddush at Avram Avinu was Mechadish. We're still trying to track that down. Thanks. Still trying to track that down and see exactly what is that Chiddush that Avram Avinu gave us. And we said it's important because this door, the Nisoinus of the door Achorin, is the Nisoinus of Avram Avinu. And we have to have the Kalim of Avram Avinu to learn how to deal with what we're going through. Kuf Yud Aleph. Aliba de Emes. Chiddush Otsum. Chiddush Avram Avinu Bedar Chay Zu. Massive Chiddush. Avram Avinu is Mechadish in this way. Hachiddush hu, what is the chiddush? She'ef she'loim es HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'me'idach HaKadosh Baruch Hu oyev oyton. Love Hashem, and He loves us. K'day she'novin ha'itiv es goydel hachiddush she'lein en ha'am mikuladas ma'al purush she'al ava al p'yashkof es ter. That's what we did this yesterday, no?
Yeah, up to here.
So why is this thing in the wrong place?
Chazar.
No. Otherwise, Hashem's Abba for us would be conditional. No. Avram Avinu discovered that you're able to love Hashem, and he discovered that Hashem loves us. I was the Lord Tolu Zeh Bezeh, because it's an Abba She'enu Tolu Bedova, by definition. Yeah. Well, so we saw this yesterday. Okay.
What?
Ava must be any tolerable dog. That's what we're looking for.
All kinds of unconditional love.
Calm down. Define your question before you ask. Just slow down and get clear. What is your question?
I find this striving for this ideal.
Why are you striving? One second. Whoa. That's too intense. Hold on. We're going to do this properly. No, this is the vibe. Let's do this properly. Too intense. Try without the intensity to ask your question. There's the striving in the... No. That's not the Torah's way. Sorry.
There's an ideal in a real.
We're trying to understand Hashkofas a Torah, which is always dogmatically real. That's the ideal. Yeah, always.
But the ideal still should be something that's realistic. We're realistic.
100% realistic. Of course it's realistic.
So this idea of unconditional love seems unrealistic to me. Why? Because if you take it at its extreme, right?
Why go extreme? Once again, why are you taking it as extreme? Why do we always have to be extreme? No, I'm asking you. I'm trying to get you to a place where it's not extreme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect in every aspect of perfection.
Right.
His love, his chesed, his desire to give by definition is unconditional. It has to be. Because he can't get anything back. He can't receive anything. Okay? I'm not like that. I'm not like that. My real is, I can never be 100% like Hashem in this area. Shimshkop says in the Dhamma Tishari Yesh, if you're bothered by this, Shimshkop is also. Because we have this ability to take. In fact, we're the biggest takers in the world. There was no one who took more than us. The animals don't take like we take. We're the biggest takers in the world. The biggest takers. And yet we have this Tselem Elokim inside of us that wants to give unconditionally. Doesn't want to take presents. Something inside of you dies when you take presents. And yet we're taking all the time. That's the contradiction we have. Yeah. Unconditional giving. You want to use marriage, let's say, as the forum?
That's where it comes up a lot.
Well, that's where it's supposed to come up. That's the real laboratory for this. Outside the house, it's not so difficult.
Right.
Inside the house is where you're really being challenged. The whole system is designed to tell you, the home. Shalom bais klali. One second. That's the whole sugya of Ezer Kenegdo. That's exactly what the sugya of Ezer Kenegdo is to build muscle in giving unconditionally. And you're doing it all the time. And by the way, you'll be amazed how well you're doing already. You'll be amazed. One second, calm down. You'll be amazed at how well you're doing already. You're just not conscious of it. A mitzvah stickers kavani, you have to be aware of it. There's a lot of giving that you're doing in your home. Yeah? In the face of some real challenges. I guess, I'm saying, I don't know. That's what people tell me. I don't know what to see. But, am I right, Bruno?
I've got to ask my wife.
I'm not asking your wife. I'm asking you. One second. I'm asking you. Forget your wife. You don't have a wife.
I feel much better.
You're giving a lot, I guess. Perfectly everything, no, but you're giving a lot. You're doing a lot. We're apprentices, remember? So you're giving a lot already. You're taking a lot also. I'm not saying not, but you're giving a lot. And sometimes it's with a lot of not supposed. Who says you deserve that? Why should I give? What did you do for those questions that come up in our heads and yet you still give? That's massive. That's where the work is. And that's where you're doing it, and it's fantastic. You're not like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Got a few more days of work to put in before you become a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the work. We're not yet to be perfect. We have to do the work in the gap between real and ideal. That's where we live. The ideal, I've said it so many times, maybe it'll sink in. It's a direction finder. It's not a goal. Get it?
Yeah.
The minute you make it a goal, you're overwhelmed because you know you never get there and it's so far away and it's, come on. No, just one small step out of real in the direction of ideal. That's why I get rid of the intensity, the striving, the yearning, just settle down. We spend so much time striving and yearning that we don't do anything. We use up all our energy. Just do what you got to do. But have a look and take stock of how much unconditional giving is taking place in your life. You'll be amazed. Truly amazed. If you stop and think about it. That answers your question?
Feel better.
I wasn't trying to make you feel better. That's not my goal. I'm asking whether that's how it answers your question. It gives you a framework in which to approach this.
Yeah.
Why not? I said the ideal is not a goal. I answered that question. It's a direction finder. There's two things you can do with ideal. Always. There's two things you can do with ideal. You can pretend you're already further down the path than you are, and it makes the gap look smaller. It looks like you're already there. Or you can lower the ideal. The ideal doesn't really mean that. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to accept the real and accept the gap, because that's what's real. And now, do what you can do. Pischelu Pesach kechudu shomacha. That's what you can do. More than that, you can't. That's the work. No, it's an ideal. You are trying to get there. But you recognize that it's chilosa b'avoida u'seifa b'gmul. You have to do whatever you can to get there. And all you can do is take one step at a time. Not unrealistic, all I can do. You can take one step at a time. And as you take two steps forward, you're going to take three back. We know what the journey looks like. It's fraught with obstacles and challenges and successes and failures. And at the end, you get it as a present. So I know that I can get there because Hashem promised it to you. That's an nisayon. That's the definition of a nisayon. The definition of a nisayon. What's the root of the word? Nes, nisayon is nes. Two things happen when a miracle takes place. First of all, there's a miracle, that's the nes. But something else happens. You see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I did something that I couldn't do. So how did you do it? Must be there was a nes, that's a banner. Nes is a word that means banner. And nisayon is something which, if you overcome the nisayon, is a miracle. Well, what happens? If it's a nisayon, that means I could have done it. Uriah, I did it. No, you didn't do it. That's a pshat in his sight. You can't do it. You actually can't. So how did you do it? Hello, Hashem. That's why they called Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. Because they were stood nishenas that were impossible and they were Megal Hashem in the world. David HaMelech also wanted to be called Elokei David, and he will be called Elokei David when Mashiach comes, and he knows that. And he asked Hashem, why don't we say, okay, David, now? Hashem says, because I haven't given you a nisayon. You attach yourself to Hashem, you magal Hashem in the world when you pass a test. How do you pass a test? By doing something that you couldn't do. So how did you do it? You didn't. You did everything you could do, and then Hashem slips you across the path that you couldn't do. So in the world of unconditional giving, how much can you do towards the ideal? A lot. An incredible amount. You'll be amazed how much you can do. But you're right, at the end, you're not going to cross the line without Hashem. You'll never get to that ideal on your own. Chilosa b'avoida, sefer b'gmul. First stage is you do the hard work, you struggle, you battle, you fall, you get up, you get bruised, you get battered, and then Hashem slips you across. So it's a direction finder now in the work of avoida. You're going to keep focusing on the goal, you're going to get miserable. You're going to start fiddling with the goal. No, there it is. I'm heading in the direction, and I know where to go, but I'm also very real at the same time. Very real. I know exactly where I am, and I know exactly what the next step I need to take is. And there's another million steps after that. Acceptance requires you to be in the moment. You start playing with futures and past, you're out of reality. Right now, here I am. This is my real, very disappointing real. I'm not exactly ecstatic about my real, but that's what it is. That's where I am. And Hashem wants me to serve him now as I am with everything that I have now. It's everything we've learned up to now. And now I'll go about doing what I can. And I'm always using that to make sure that I'm heading the right direction. And one day you'll get there. How? Because Hashem will see that you pischu pesach kechudu shomachet, and he'll open for you pischu kelulam shelulam. That's the system. That's the structure. I don't know how else to machadish another system if you want. Many people did. It's called reform, conservative, reconstructionist. A lot of words to step you out of this problem of dealing with the shtapos ha'chayim. That's the real. And you see people that did this. The Ramak wrote to Musa Sefer for I don't know who he was writing it for. Sometimes troubled that he never had me in mind when he wrote the Sefer. That Sefer Moshechs. You want to bring me a Tommy Devora? Well, let's show you how impossible this really is. If you think it's hard, it's really. Let's...
Should the ideal is on the condition, surely that's more realistic and easier than a conditional one. Because a conditional one is relying on your wife to do certain things. You can't control that. Unconditional.
But I can decide not to give. Yeah, but I can decide not to give to this person because they're not doing what I want. Unconditional means...
That's not unconditional.
Of course it's... No, one second. That's what you just said.
Yes.
Unconditional is easier than conditional, which is easier. No, conditional is much easier.
I would say,
just give to people who deserve it. I deserve it. I give. Wash it. Why do I have to stretch myself? They have to stretch themselves. Like, oh, yeah, this is a funny looking thing. You haven't got a normal, simple, good old fashioned time with the boy.
Other people let you down.
Yeah, but that's hard. Taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for your emotions, for your feelings, for your simcha, for your. That's not so easy.
Okay.
It's much easier just to blame somebody else.
Got it.
You know, I'm not giving you, and I'm not being so benevolent because you're a witch.
It's more natural that the unconditional one, which should be easier, but is not natural.
Anyway, he says, yeah. Okay, let's just quickly look at this. We're not going to go through all Tome Devora. It's based on Va'alachta Bedrochov. That's the walk in Hashem's ways. It says, Adam Reishi is Dame Lekoino. We know that. Why is it Roy? Good, fitting that a person should be similar to his creator because you want to get close to Hashem. Getting close means, but the most like him. You can't get close to him because you're far away from him because you're not far away from him. He's everywhere. So why do we feel far and get close? Means being like him. To become like him, to become like the Tzura El Yoina. Tell him what the most. Then he goes on, that's it. Then he says like this. Moira, this is the beginning. This is the first of the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim, according to Micha. Moira Elyos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elav. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very Ne'elav. Soivel Elboy. He suffers terrible, terrible insults, whatever. Translate me correctly if I'm wrong. Ma Sheyoli Chulu Rayon. It's impossible to imagine. Possible to imagine. There's nothing hidden from Hashem. That we all agree, yeah? He knows everything. And we also know that's Pashut, that there isn't a moment in a person's life that it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's giving him the koyach the ability, the sustenance to keep him alive. It all comes down from Hashem. You don't move your toe without Hashem helping you, right? He's giving you the koyach to do that. It never happened ever that a person did a chet, that at the moment he was doing the chet, he got the koyach and the shef and the ability to move and do what he was doing. He gets that from Hashem. Hashem is giving that to him. Vim yesha adam chayte b'koyach ha'hu, lo minami menu klal. Hashem's using the koyach, the person, I'm using the koyach that Hashem's giving me, and I'm using that to rebel against Hashem, to go against the rotzon Hashem, and he doesn't hold anything back. He doesn't hold anything back. He doesn't say, we'll see. Hashem bears that insult, a ridiculous insult, and he continues to give me the ability to move my limbs. I'm doing an avera through the tnua avora. I'm doing an avera by moving my limb. Yeah, Hashem gives me the koyach to do that. We might say it's a koyach, but it's a regel. But chet v'avon umakis v'kodesh baruch hu seivo. At the moment that Hashem is giving me the ability to move my hand, I'm using that koyach to do an avera to anger Hashem, and he's seivo. Well, I tell you, Hashem, you can't deny me many a toy v'ahu. Chas v'chalila. You say, well, Hashem can't hold back. He can't. Chas v'chalila, Hashem b'koyach b'regel k'meim re'leyavish yod v'roglov. He could dehydrate your hand so quickly it'll shrivel up and cease to exist if you wanted to. Kain shosel yoravam. Val kol ze shakoyach b'yod lahachzi hakoyach hanishpa hahu v'eloyim. Hashem could say, listen, you know what? Kiven shatachoyte negdi, you want to do a sin against me, yeah? So you know what? Use your own resources. I'm not giving you anything. Techte b'shelcha v'lo b'sheli. You sin with you want to do something that's not my rotzen? You're using my koyach to go against my rotzen? You know what? I'm not giving you any koyach to go against my rotzen. You welcome to use whatever koyach you want. V'lo mitnei zeh manet toiv min ha'adam v'lo savol elbo. He doesn't do that. He carries on giving him and serving him and surveilling him, and patient with him. Raise the elbow in support. You can't imagine the ability to be tolerant and to be savlonus. Savlonus doesn't mean patience, it means to bear a moindika burden. Vainu. Mikael Kamoicha. That's the word Mikael Kamoicha means all this. What is that, Mikael Kamoicha? Atah Kel Bal Hechesed Hameitiv. You're this Kel who's Bal Chesed Hameitiv. Kel Bal Koyach Lin Kreim La'asef Eshulcha. You could have revenge and take back what's yours. Then calls out the Sovah and Elab Ad Yishu B'tshuva. You wait patiently and you absorb the abuse and you wait for this person to do tshuva. Haraze Midash itself. So that's very nice. We learned about Hashem now. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Aval Makashu alai. Haraze Midash itzaricha adam litnayeg bo. That's a midah that a person has to conduct himself with. Ritzayne hasavlonus. V'chein yesenela v'afilu medregazu. Even you'll be insulted to this level. Don't hold back goodness from the makabel, from the person you give it to. Now let's try and translate this into our language. So this is Hashem's language. You understand? While I'm doing this aveira, I'm busy using this hand to do an aveira. The only reason I could move this hand, the reason I have a hand is because Hashem's giving it to me right now. And he could say to me, you're about to do an aveira? You're on your own, kid. You find the resources for that. And of course, that's ridiculous. I don't have resources. So Hashem's helping me to do the Aveira Kaviyoko. He's giving me the Delic that I need to do the Aveira. And I do the Aveira. That's insane. What does that look like? Imagine someone knocks on your door and he's collecting money because he writes the weekly parsha thing that does that in all the shuls. You know, these guys that abuse the shameless business. You know what I'm talking about? At the end of the Shabbos, somebody has to collect all these things that everybody puts out. And the shameless bin has to collect it. Okay. So imagine that this guy comes, he's collecting because he puts out his parsha and you give him money for it. You come to shul and you open up his parsha sheet that you gave the money for, and there's a whole diatribe there about what a roshi you want. He's used the money you've given him to print a little piece on don't go to Baruch Beit. Don't go to Baruch. What did the Torah of Devorah just tell us? A pialoch, it's awesome, but I'm just using an example. But in the world of the Torah Devorah, that's what Hashem does. That's exactly what Hashem does. Now we have to be like that as well. Okay? Now we know what the job is. Now go do a cheshbon nefesh and work out where am I holding in relation to this Torah Devorah. Go, see. Find the areas where you are an unconditional giver, like your kids, because that you get automatically almost. And then see, okay, now how can I, if that's something you want to work on, maybe you work on something else now, you don't have the resources to start working on this. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. This, your sword that we just learned now, okay, is the most fundamental, the important, most fundamental, your sword of the entire career. And without that, it's not shaykh to be a human being. Not talking about the level the Torah Devorah is talking about. That you need to be Korov Lamalach. I'm talking about just the beginnings of this. The first step in the world of giving and taking an unconditional giving, it's not shaykh to be a human being without this, and I'll tell you why not. Because when you're giving, you are like Hashem, and when you're taking, you couldn't get further away from Hashem. You couldn't get further away. There's nothing further away from Hashem than taking. I'm not taking a taking for the sake of giving. I'm not talking about a giving that looks like taking. I'm talking about actual giving, actual taking. The entire world swirls around these two midas because that's all Hashem does. He gives. That's it. We have no other relationship with Hashem other than him just giving and giving and giving. And you want to get close to him, you want to be like him, you have to be giving. And when you're taking, you're doing the opposite. You couldn't be further away from Hashem than when you take. That's why the subject's not something you can just ignore and say, yeah, it's not for me. Because there is no other subject. This is the subject. Everything else that you're going to deal with is caught up in the subject of giving and taking. That's where you make your life. It gives you lots of things you don't need either. There are a lot of pleasures we have in our world that we could live without. He overwhelms us with things we don't need. And that's in this world. Okay. And then the next world, it's nothing you need. It's all kulu chesed. Goyal mael chesodim. You don't deserve it and you don't need it. You don't deserve it. What do you deserve? What do you deserve? You deserve anything?
You earned it. Hashem let us earn it. Mechira, we did the good stuff, not the bad things.
You didn't know. What you get in the world of schava oinesh, magia lacha. But you're going to get so much more than what you earned. You won't even imagine. We'll see. We'll deal with it. Well, good, good question. That's an old question on the Chavis and Lavavis. Chavis and Lavavis said you're going to get much more schar than you deserve. And then everybody asks, what about Namad Kisufi? Last chapter of Pirkei Machshava in Munin B'Tochen, we'll deal with it. We'll look at it now if you want, if you can't wait. But that we will deal with. But that's not the point. The point is no. Shmuel said Hashem gives us only what we need. He gives us so much more than what you need. You don't need the smell of the chicken soup. You need to eat chicken soup. He gives you chicken soup. Why do I have to have the smell? When you're frying onions, you need the smell. Yeah, so you don't need them. Because God gives us much more than what we need. Oh my goodness, he gives us so much more than what we need.
Now we smell the chicken. Made the chicken soup, didn't have a smell. You threw the chicken out.
When you had corona, you didn't throw out the chicken soup. That's not exactly. I remember not being able to smell. You look called kachnas. Anyway, but we don't need it. No, smell's important. You need it. But I'm saying, anyway. Unconditional giving is a big sugya, but there is no other sugya because it's the whole reason Hashem created the world. There's no other reason. That's what Avraham Avinu discovered. That was his chiddush. Hashem created the world and does for me because he loves me. But we may start with your name. Rav Noach Weinberg at Eishet Torah always used to do the following thing. He would ask guys if they believed in God. In the introduction, whatever. Most of the guys say no. I don't believe in God. He would ask them if they'd ever prayed. Roy Gruber had prayed. Yeah, because there's no atheist in a foxhole. Everyone's had problems and whatever. They all done it. They all pray. At some point in their lives, they'd spoken to this God they don't believe in. Then he asked them, have you ever felt that your prayers were answered? And a few put up their hands. So the thing that doesn't exist, you asked him for something, he gave it to you. You don't point that out to them because that doesn't make anyone feel nice. And then they leave. He asked them, why do you think the contradiction you don't point out to them? If you ever hope for Korean kiruv, don't point out to them that they're a bunch of idiots. It's beautifully tempting, you know, to tell them, ha ha, you prayed to something you don't believe in, and he answered you, but you still don't believe in him? You know, idiot. That's my approach. That's not, it doesn't make anybody feel nice. Reb Noach was better at this than you. So he turned around and he said, why do you think he answered your prayers? You have a contract with him? You have some kind of a deal with him that he has to answer your prayers. You ask, he gives. How does it come about? And then, of course, everyone's like, shocked. You're right. Why should you answer my prayers? Because he loves you. That's all. He loves you. Why else do you? Somebody asked you for a favor. Why do you help them? Because you love them. You know, he's not obligated to help you. You're coming from where you think there's God. Why do you pray to him? Because he's going to help me. And that's his job. Yeah. Oh, he loves you, otherwise he wouldn't do it. That was Abraham Avinu's chiddush. Olam chesed yibane. The whole world was built on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's desire to do chesed. Zeu, kulu, nothing else. Him giving and us taking. There's a problem with taking. So Shem sets up a system where the taking's not a taking, it's a giving. Okay, well, you have the problem? Unconditional giving is the work we need to be doing, or at least to begin with, just at least being aware of the subject. Don't leap into it now, Baruch, boots and all, and get miserable because you ain't holding. Just at least, first of all, awareness. Then afterwards, acceptance. And then, okay, how do we do something about this now? Without intensity.
That's okay.
We're apprentices. That's boring, that's doable. That's why we are. When you go into the gym, you don't look at the gorilla over there and say, well, I'm never going to look like that, so I'm out of here. No, you start with, you know, 2 kilos and whatever. And one day you'll look like a gorilla. No one ever walked into gym and was disappointed on the second day because he wasn't, didn't have to buy a new shirt, you know? It takes a while before you have to change your wardrobe.